Well, good morning. Good morning. If you've seen me running in and out and kind of checking my watch and my phone, it's because Kara slipped down our stairs in the parsonage this morning and broke her ankle. So she just texted me and said it's broken. So I've been kind of texting back and forth and just seeing how she's doing. She's fine. Paula Manning's with her. And so I think that last time, well, here's another one. They're splitting it up and she's coming home with crutches. So keep her in her prayers. Keep me in your prayers, as I'll probably have to do a lot more this week. It's gonna be rough. It'll be a rough week for me. So keep me in your prayers. No, but she's in good care, and so you know it's serious when a nurse goes to the hospital. And so I didn't have to convince her much to go to the hospital, and so I knew it was kind of pretty serious. And so she's there, and she's getting all fixed up and coming home. So just keep her in our prayers. So hey, this morning we're wrapping up our series called Soul Activities, and we've been focusing it in on this verse. I think we got it coming up here from Mark chapter 12, and we have talked about this verse a little bit, and we see that from the background that there's these religious leaders, and they've been sitting around, and they just debate all day about which of these 600 laws that they had is the most important. That wouldn't be a fun debate to be in on, but that's what they did, and they couldn't seem to figure it out. And so finally, one of these religious teachers decided to ask Jesus for his inputs. Pretty smart guy, you know. That'd be the person I'd ask. And here was the answer Jesus gave in verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so the first week we talked about, the week one takeaway was being a disciple of Jesus means learning to love God with every aspect of your life. It's kind of all or none with God. It's not none of this half foot in, half foot out stuff. It's pretty much all or none, and that's what this verse is saying. This verse is saying being a disciple of Jesus means learning to love God with every aspect of your life. And then for the last several weeks, we've kind of been breaking that verse down in Matthew or Mark 12. We've kind of breaking it down. Okay, what does it really mean to love God with all my heart? And what does it mean to love God with all my soul? And what does it mean to love God with all my mind? And in week two, we looked at the first part of the verse, love God with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. What does it mean to love God with all your heart? And remember, we looked at the story of the woman from the well, right? Remember that? And she was trying to satisfy her life with something other than Jesus. And Jesus called her out on it, didn't he? He did it lovingly. He didn't do it harshly or anything, but he called her out. And here's where we landed in week two. Loving Jesus will satisfy your heart in a way that nothing else can. There's going to be things that are going to let you down. Your job's going to let you down. People in your life are going to let you down at times. Things are just going to go away. Jesus is always going to be the only constant in your life. So loving Jesus will satisfy your heart in a way that nothing else can. And in week three, we got to the soul. And back to verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So we took a look at it. What does it mean to love God with all my soul? And here's what we discovered. Loving God with all your soul means pursuing him with your identity and your choices. With your identity and your choices. If your identity's found in Christ, that's your identity. And then because of that identity, you want to make choices so that God gets the glory. That's the important part, so that God gets the glory. And that's what we kind of looked at. And then we found out that this, guess what? Not all things help you love God with all your soul, right? And that's pretty self-explanatory. Not all things help you love God with all your soul. And because of that, not all things help give God the glory. And so that's important. We need to continue to look at that. Last week we looked at the next part of verse 30, love, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your what? Mind. Man, we're awake this morning. That's good. That's good. And here's where we zeroed in on last week. This is what we zeroed in. Loving God with all your mind means focusing on his ways and taking time to know what you believe and why you believe it. That's important. That's important. You need to know his ways. Not our wants, not our desires, right? His ways. And then taking time to know what you believe and why you believe it, digging into the scriptures, finding out what God believes and understanding that, and so you know why you believe and what you believe it. And you need to be in God's word. That's important. That's so important. And actually, that's a perfect segue into our sermon for this morning. We're going to jump back last time to verse 30. One last time, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If you don't do verse memorization, you should probably got this verse memorized by now, right? I mean, I helped you out. We've been doing this for 5 weeks. You should have it memorized. And today we're talking about strength, loving God with all your strength. What does it mean to love God with all your strength? I mean, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? I mean, have you ever really thought about that? How do I love God with all my strength? Here's the thing. Loving God with all your strength is more than a physical ability to do something. It has nothing to do with how many push-ups you can do or how much you can bench press, right? How fast you can run a 5K, how well you do an arm wrestling competition. Loving God with all your strength simply means to love God with everything that you have. You follow me? Loving God with everything you have, it means loving God with the resources you have available to you, with everything that you would claim that was yours, from your church, to your spouse, to your money, to your home, to your children, to your vehicle. Everything you have available to you is to be used for God's glory so that he gets the benefit. So here's where we're going this morning. Loving God with all your strength means using all your resources and everything in your power to love God and follow his commands. Loving God with all your strength means using all your resources and everything in your power to love God and follow his commands. We're going to take a look at an Old Testament story this morning where a guy gets this. He gets this, and his life is completely changed, and God gets the glory. And guess what? His name is found in the pages of Scripture. That's a cool thing, right? Don't you wish your name was found in the pages of Scripture? That's awesome. And he's talked about in the likeness of David and all the people who did great things for the kingdom of God. It's a story that is not often talked about. It's not often talked about, and maybe there are some of you who have maybe never even read this story. And so we're going to take a look at the story and see what it looks like to love God with all your strength. A story of a man that used everything that he had and all his resources and everything in his power so that God got the glory and that he loved God back with all his strength. So let's dive in. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, or we're going to have it on the screen also. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 22. And verse 1 says this, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Let's just stop right there. 8 years old, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Our oldest daughter, Riley, she's 8 years old. And can you imagine if Riley, my daughter, at 8 years old was president? I mean, there's people that have issues with Donald Trump being president, President Trump. President Riley Sloan, I'm not sure, 8 years old, might be having more of an issue. I think every day would be a pizza party, which might not be a bad idea. I mean, I might be all right with that. And some of you guys have kids that age or had kids that age. I mean, oh man, I was just sitting in my office this week, and every time I would think about that, I would just laugh. Like, 8 years old, are you kidding me? This kid was 8 years old. 8 years old. This guy, Josiah, was 8 years old and was handed the throne, and he reigned for 31 years. That's what it says, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. Man, I sure wish that they had gone into more details about what his leadership skills were like. Like, why couldn't they do some, like, and here's what he was like, and here's what he did. He ordered everybody to eat gummy bears at midnight. I don't know. Like, don't you wonder that? Like, I wonder what his leadership skills were like at 8 years old. Man, that's crazy. And it'd be fun to read about, but they didn't put it in there. But we do find out from reading this story was that it took Josiah 16 years to figure out what God was calling him to do. That's what we're going to find out in this story. And some of you can say amen to that, right? Did it take you 16 years to figure out what God was calling you to do? Some of you may still even be trying to figure that out, right? Let's go on to verse 2. We're going to go on to verse 2 through 10. said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. So he was from the line of David, not turning aside to the right or the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, and the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Tithes, offerings. Have them entrust it to the men who appointed to supervise the work of the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair for the temple of the Lord. In case you don't know who those people are, he goes on and says, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. So they're going to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully. Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. The Bible. He found the scriptures, the law, the Torah. Then Shaphan, he gave it to Shaphan, who read it. That's important, right? He read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple. So he goes back to Josiah and says, hey, I did everything you told me to do. I paid everybody you told me to pay. They're taking care of everything. Your officials have paid the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan said, Josiah, sit down. He's not 8 years old anymore, but you're still young. Let me read it to you in your presence. He read it in the presence of the king. He read God's word to the king. And when that word came, it would not be returned void, as we see in scriptures, and it completely changed everything. So now the word of God is being read, and look what happens next in verse 11. In verse 11, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He tore his robes. Do you understand the significance that is going on here with the tearing of the robes? You understand that? It was a man who had just heard God's word, and he felt guilty for how he was living. Therefore, in a state of worship and mourning, he ripped his clothes as if to say, God, I am not worthy of even standing before you. Go on in verse 12 and 13. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Akim, son of Shaphan, Akbar, son of Micaiah, Shaphan, if you need some dog names or anything like that, there's some good ones. And Azariah, the king's attendants, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Go and ask somebody about this. Go and ask somebody about these scriptures that we just read. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. Remember that question that the religious teacher asked Jesus? Which of the commandment is the greatest? And what are we to do? And Jesus responded by saying, here's the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And here we are thousands of years before that. And it says, our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, and they have not been doing according to everything that has been written in it. Has much changed? Has much changed over the course of thousands of years? Because let's face it, if we take a look at our life and we took out the word our fathers, we can put the word I in there, right? Because I have not obeyed the words of God. Ouch. Let's keep reading. Verses 14 through 17. Hilkiah the priest, Achman, Akbar, all these guys, all those people went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shalom, son of Tikva,
the son of Haros, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says." So they went to this prophetess, and they didn't go to some big name person, did they? I mean, we never hear about this person, this lady, right? So she's not some bigwig in the Bible, just some lady. And so they went to her to say, "Hey, what's this mean?" And she said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. Tell the man who sent you to me." Go to the next slide. There you go. "This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched." So what do you think? Does it sound like God's happy or not? Does it sound like a happy verse? Does it sound like God's pleased with his people? Yeah, God is not pleased with the way these people are living. This is a prophecy that has been put in the book and read, and now that prophecy begins to be played out. Look at verse 18 and 19. "Tell the king of Judah who sent you," which is who? Josiah, right? To inquire of the Lord, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord." God hears you when you cry out to him. Isn't that comforting? That's comforting to hear, right? He heard them. In verse 20, "Therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. In other words, "I will spare you," is what God says to this king. "I will allow you to go to your grave before I allow your land to be destroyed." We're gonna keep going. 23, verses 1 and 2. "Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Israel, the priests and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the temple of the Lord." Story time, right? You follow me? Story time. Josiah is now standing before all these people, and he's reading the word of God to them. He's reading the Bible to them. And look what happens. "The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes and decrees with all his heart and his, all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant." Now there's this whole group of people that are joining together and saying that they want to use their resources and everything in their power to love God and follow his commands. Going on, the king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the priests next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. See what's going on here? Following it? Now Josiah, the guy that made a decision that they were going to follow God with all their strength, takes a step back and begins to look at everything. Begins to look at his kingdom. And he realizes that they haven't been loving God with all their resources and loving God with everything they are. That there are certain things that they were doing that was not pleasing to God. They were worshiping other gods and doing all kinds of different things. So he begins to clean house. Anybody ever started cleaning house? You're like, "Why do I even have this here? I don't even need this. Like, we haven't used it in 15 years. Let's get rid of it." That's what Josiah is doing. He's cleaning house. He's taking everything out and he's just burning it. I don't think that they might not have had a big trash pickup day back then. So he had to go to the Kidron Valley and just burn it. But if they had big pickup day, it'd be big pickup day, and I'm sure there'd be people going around digging through it, trying to take your stuff, right? But he begins to clean house, so to speak. He begins to remove all those things that have not been used to glorify God. He begins to remove all those things from his life. Going on, says he did away with the adulterous priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places and of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations and all the starry hosts. Keep going on. Another one. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem, and he burned it there. And then it wasn't enough for him to burn it. It says he grounded it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord, the quarters where women did weaving for Asherah. Josiah came to the point where he realized that all of his resources and all his power needed to be used towards loving God and following his commands and all those things. But he wasn't doing that. He was showing how he was serious about loving God with all his strength. He's saying, I'm serious, and this is how serious I am. We're doing cleaning house. We're getting a dumpster ordered, a big old dumpster, and we're cleaning house. And the story goes on, and you can read more about that on your free time or during your quiet time. But here's the question I have for you this morning that you need to think really hard about. It's a pretty easy question. I think we have it on the screen. Go ahead and put it up there, Elijah. What are you allowing to come into your life that is not helping you love God? That's a simple question, right? But it's an important question. Josiah saw how important that was, right? And he realized it, and he's like, oh, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in my life that isn't helping me love God. What are you allowing to come into your life that is not helping you love God? If you want to love God with all your strength, and that means you need to use all your resources and everything in your power to love God and obey his commands. What resource and what power have you allowed to come into your life that really keeps you from loving God fully and obeying his commands? And once you have identified those things, are you willing to do what Josiah did and remove them from your life? That's a tough one. That's tough. That's important. I'm going to skip over a bunch of verses. You can read all those later. I want to skip down to verse 24 and 25. It says, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. Go to the next verse, Elijah. Oh, missed one. Let me pick it up here. Verse 25. Where are we at? There we are. Listen to this. This is a cool verse. So he did away with all these things, all these spiritists, these mediums, idols, detestable things. And then 25 says this, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. Listen to this. With all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength in accordance with all the law of Moses. That's cool. That's cool. Are you willing to do what Josiah did? Are you willing to look at your resources and your and power and eliminate the things that you don't need? And maybe that's so we can bring in the things that God needs? After all, loving God with all your strength means using all your resources and everything in your power to love God and follow his commands. And then back to 12:30.
I mean, do you want one day when you stand before God, do you want him to say this about you? And he or she loved the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their mind and with all their strength. As we just read, that's how Josiah was described. And loving God with all your heart means pursuing after Jesus, and he will satisfy your heart in a way that nothing else can. And loving God with all your soul means pursuing him with your identity and your choices so that he gets the glory. And loving God with all your mind means focusing on him. And loving God with all your strength means using all your resources and everything in your power to love God and follow his commands. The question you have to ask yourself is, are you truly loving God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength? Are you giving him everything you have and everything you are? Father, we thank you for this series, and we thank you for the life of Josiah, that he is a good illustration of how we can love you with all our strength. It's crazy to think of, he was king at 8 years old, but it said that there was no one before him that was greater and no one after him that was greater. And Father, that shows us that age doesn't matter one bit. That you can use anybody. Father, help us to be vessels to be used by you. Father, help us to really dig down and say, hey, am I loving God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind, and all my strength? Am I really giving him all my, giving you all my life? Am I giving you access to all my life, or are there pieces that I'm holding on to? It's like I talked about in the first sermon. Am I selling a house, but I still want to keep ownership of a closet? How silly is that? But isn't that what we do with our lives? God, you can have my life, except that I still want control of that. That's not how it works. Father, help us just to give complete access and control over to you of our lives, so that you can come in and fill us up, Father, so that we can go out and spread the good news of Jesus with everyone. That's what we're here to do. That's what we talked about in the very first sermon, ultimately. We're here to go and make disciples. Father, as the Easter season approaches next week and we relive what happened and talk about what you did for us thousands of years ago, Father, make it real and evident in our life today. Touch our lives in a way that you've never touched them before, and allow us to go out and use our story as we pursue people. Father, we love you and we thank you for everything. In your name we pray. Amen.